Well, here we are, just 3 short days away from Christmas. This is Christmas Eve, if you will. And our holiday celebrations are in full swing. I feel like I've been to far too many Christmas parties and white elephant gift exchanges and the like, and already seen way too many decorations. But the excitement around the Christmas season is in the air. It's tangible right now. That excitement is at times a bit chaotic, especially in the world around us. There are so many things for people to be excited about or to focus on during this season that it can feel a little bit scattered. It's like we all know that something big is happening, but we haven't quite been told exactly what it is. Or maybe more accurately, we've been told a bunch of different things. We are all looking for something to latch our attention onto, something to catch this excitement. People want a direction to focus their excitement. I mean, just listening to a radio station that's playing Christmas music is a perfect example of this. Every song seems to focus on something different. If it's not a specifically Christian song, it's pretty well guaranteed that it's not focusing on the real thing that the holiday is all about. It's usually about like good food or family or playing in the snow or romance or presents or any one of 100 things. Not necessarily bad things, mind you, but none of them really get to the heart of the season. Now, this chaotic attention split that accompanies Christmas in our culture has all sorts of negative side effects to it. But one of them, and maybe one of the more important ones, is that it can make each aspect of Christmas kind of blur together. It makes it so that altogether this season is really exciting. The general spirit is exciting. But each individual activity that we participate in kind of becomes trivial or mundane. Everything starts to hold the same weight. And the problem with that is that the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, often gets lumped up in there with everything else. Thinking about Jesus' birth becomes just another tradition, like decorating the tree or exchanging gifts. It's just another step that we take to feel more Christmassy. I certainly fall into this myself, and it's not really surprising that it happens. I think just about everything that we do repetitively, like celebrating Christmas every year, eventually starts to feel mundane. And so we need reminders. We need to take the time to really pause and think about what it is that we're celebrating. Think about what these traditions are really for. Meditate on the story of the birth of Jesus and feel the weight of what God has done. And that's what Advent is great for. And this final Sunday of Advent, before Christmas, is centered around the theme of love. So the big idea for today is don't let the love of God become mundane. Don't let the love of God become mundane. Because as soon as the love of God becomes mundane, as soon as the story of what he's done for us loses its meaning or becomes just another part of the Christmas background noise, our response to that love, our reaction to what he's done, also becomes mundane. It becomes a going through the motions. It dries up. Who here has seen a Charlie Brown Christmas? Okay, good. It's one that my family watches just about every year during the Christmas season. It's an absolute classic. And what's really cool is right at the climax of the story, Linus is quoting the Gospel of Luke to Charlie Brown, trying to explain to him the meaning of Christmas. And so the scene goes something like this. "I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree," said Charlie Brown. "Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't really know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Linus walks to the center stage and says, "Lights, please." And then he quotes Luke 2. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. You see, in that little movie, Charlie Brown found himself in a similar predicament to ours. The whole storyline is about his confusion on the real meaning of Christmas and him becoming more and more frustrated with the answers that he's getting from the world around him that seems to be obsessed with consumerism and flashy decorations and big production. He feels that great excitement around the season that we all feel. Or he at least knows that there's something that people are getting excited about. But he's trying to figure out what exactly it is that warrants that level of excitement. And it's this retelling of the Christmas story by Linus that finally gives Charlie Brown a satisfying answer to his question. But the thing is, everyone has to stop what they're doing to listen to it. It's like a breath of fresh air in this little story after the chaos of everything else that's happening up to that point. What's ironic is that one of the things distracting everyone and stressing out Charlie Brown, and the very thing that all of the characters have to stop doing to listen to Linus, is rehearsing for this play, a play that's supposed to retell the Christmas story. That story from Scripture that Linus told, the true meaning of Christmas, was the story they were acting out, but none of them really got it. Even though they were interacting with it, the weight of it wasn't quite hitting them. It was just what they did every year. It had become mundane. And you can see this in their response. They were acting this story out, but they weren't actually responding to it in a meaningful way. They were still more concerned about their looks, their romantic interests, the size of the Christmas tree they wanted Charlie Brown to get, all sorts of other things, than they were with the reality of God coming to earth in the form of a human infant. Now, obviously, they were children in an animation, so I can't be too hard on them. But the point is that we often act the same way. We get anxious about family gatherings not going perfectly according to plan. We get excited or disappointed about the gifts that we're going to be receiving. We get annoyed when people don't do a tradition that we always do, or when they do it wrong. We get obsessed about spending time with the one special person. We give all this weight and attention to all of these little things. Again, not necessarily bad things, but we have hardly any capacity left to respond to the Son of God coming down to earth, to feel the weight of God's love. We all need a Linus to step in. We need a pause to be placed on our busy schedules so we can really listen to and hear the story of Christ's birth. We need to truly remember. And then we need to respond. I love the passage of Scripture that Linus chose because it gives us a snapshot of the first time the Christmas story was told, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and were saying to them, Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And in the verses right after it, we get to see how those first hearers of the Christmas story responded to it. In Luke 2, starting in verse 15, it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I think their response, the shepherds' response, tells us a lot about what ours should be. And I want to break the response down into 4 points. But first, so we're tying everything together, I want to show how all of those points are encapsulated in that theme of love that we're focusing on today. I know that the passage doesn't mention love specifically, but the whole story of Christ's birth is flooded with it, full of God's love for humanity and humanity responding to him in love. The response of the shepherds was, I think, a deep expression of love. It reminded me of that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, the really well-known passage. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These shepherds certainly had some things that they were enduring at the time they heard this message from the angels. Not only were they doing a lowly, unglamorous, stressful, and a demanding job, they were Jews living under Roman rule. Jews whose people had waited hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah to appear and deliver them. I can't help but imagine myself in their shoes, waiting and waiting for something to come, something that God himself had promised. I think myself personally, after a few hundred years, would start to get a little bit cynical about this whole promise. But the shepherds showed no sign of that. Despite what they'd endured and what their people endured, they had hope. They had faith in God's character. And when they heard what he had finally done, or heard that he had finally done what he'd promised, they didn't hesitate to respond. They endured, and they hoped, and they believed. And their response was from out of this deep love. So what is our response to the Christmas story? It should be one of love as well. So here's the 4 points really quickly, and then we'll dive into each one. Our response is that we are to love God with our actions, with our obedience, with each other, and with our everything. So first, we are to love God with our actions. Notice the first thing that the shepherds say right after the angels depart. They say, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And then after they'd gone to see this baby they'd heard about, it says they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They didn't just sit around and talk about it. Didn't just go back to doing their job or go to bed. They responded directly to what they'd heard with action. And they just had the beginning of the story. They didn't have the faintest idea, as far as we know, as to what was in store for the world through this child, what was going to happen throughout the rest of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. But we do. We hear the Christmas story with the full weight of what his life would bring and what it would mean to us And so our response should bear that same weightiness. In 1 John, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Our response should be so full of this love that God shared with us through Christ, that we're willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, lay down our lives for the people around us. And I don't think that this is just talking about some sort of martyrdom. I used to read verses like this when I was younger and have kind of a heroic image in my head of laying down my life for someone else, of dying for someone else. And while I think that's certainly a part of what these verses are getting at, maybe on the extreme side of the responses, it's notable that the example given immediately after this encouragement to lay down our lives is about giving up material possessions for someone in need. This response action of giving up our lives is not just a one-time thing. It's a way of living, of being so excited about this love of God that we've witnessed that all other things pale in comparison. Understanding the sacrificial love of God so deeply that we're ready to sacrifice everything we have in response for the good of our brothers and sisters. This is not an easy response. It requires an earnest excitement like that of the shepherds, willing to leave everything else behind in an instant to worship God and spread the news. It's a weighty response. And in order for us to carry it out, we need to feel the weight of what we're responding to. Point number two is tied to point number one. Part of our response is that we are to love God with our obedience. It's not very fun sounding, I know. But if we are to respond to God's love in this sacrificial way that we've been talking about, it will require a certain level of obedience to God's commands. And this is not only because we need to be disciplined enough to live out this challenging lifestyle, but also because understanding the weight and gravity of the commands he's given us and earnestly seeking to obey them makes very clear to us our need for his grace and the weight of Christ's life and sacrifice. I'll say it again. Understanding the weight and gravity of the commands he's given us and earnestly seeking to obey them makes very clear to us our need for his grace and the weight of Christ's life and sacrifice. When we put in real effort to keep God's commandments and then realize how royally incapable we are of doing so, we understand a little bit better the real meaning of Christmas. We draw the story of Christ's birth a little bit further out of the mundane. Understand how necessary it was for God to come down to earth as an infant. So our loving actions are tied to and informed by our obedience to God's commands. God is truly the one that decides what love is and what loving action is, and Scripture reflects that. If we look at 1 John 4, it says this, "And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." And in John 15, Jesus says, "This is my command, love each other." And when Jesus is asked about what the greatest commandment is, he responds with, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." the driving force behind God's commandments is love. And obedience to those commandments aligns us with that love of God. As Jesus says in John 15, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. The third part of our response to God is that we are to love him with each other. There are two things along this line that we can take from the response of the shepherds in Luke 2. The entirety of their response was done as a group, and part of their response was to reach out to other people. Right after they hear the news, they say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And throughout the entirety of the story, they're referred to as a collective. There's never one individual singled out among them. And I'm sure that they each had their own individual responses and their own individual emotions going on in the middle of this. They were human, after all. But they still acted as a community. I think there's something unifying about being a part of a story that is much larger than yourself. And that story is the same one that we're a part of today. Each one of us has our own unique responses to this season or to the story of Christ's birth. Each one of us has our own unique challenges to face, our own joys to celebrate, and our own lives to live. But we're all drawn together by this one thing, the birth of Jesus. No matter where we're coming from or where we're headed, we are all a part of something bigger than any one of us. And just like the shepherds, this realization should make us reach out to other people as well. Invite people to be a part of this story. Jesus came into the world in one tiny town at one specific time, but he didn't intend for his work to end there, for the story to end there, and neither should we. When the story of Christ becomes just another part of the mundane, it's easy to keep it to ourselves. But when we remember the weight of it, when we take the time to truly understand the excitement that those shepherds were feeling, we can't help but want others to hear about it. Finally, our response to God should be that we love him with our everything. Now, this one is pretty all-encompassing and a little bit redundant after the last three points, but I really wanted to end with reiterating the gravity of our response to the Christmas story and the weight of God's love. There is no greater joy than the salvation and restoration brought about in us through the life of Christ. Nothing more beautiful and awe-inspiring than the Creator of the universe entering into the world as an infant, born in a stable, no less, coming down to our level and eventually humbling himself even to the point of suffering and dying on a cross for our sake. That kind of gift, that kind of love that we're celebrating, warrants an everything kind of response, a response that spills into every part of our lives. So let's not let this Christmas become mundane or forget the love of God in the middle of all of the chaos. Instead, let's take the time to truly remember the story behind it and respond with a kind of love from all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come into the end of this Advent season, as we reach the climax of what we've been waiting for this Christmas season, I pray that you would help us to feel the weight of your love. Help us understand the depth of what you did for us and what it means for us, and help us to respond in kind. Help us not to get so caught up in everything that's going on that we make your story something mundane or trivial. Thank you, God, for what you did for us. Thank you for sending your Son onto the earth to become one of us. We love you, God, and we thank you that you loved us first so that we can love you. In Jesus' name, amen.